AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM, serving Philadelphia and the tri-state area and the entire world on the internet by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link. And if you are going to be tuning in anytime during the day, you can tune into the Listen Live link or Listen Anytime link as well, and it'll go right to all of our former broadcasts. As you heard that the announcement a second ago, this program reflects our opinions. So make sure that you call around today, because we're going to have an extremely point blank discussion today on several issues that are of concern to all of us. I first want to say that we're going to ask our panel to discuss several issues, and we're going to invite you to send me an email, if you like, to michael@americanworkersradio.com, so that I'll be able to share some of your announcements that you would like to make, which many people announce all kinds of things of what they're doing and how they're doing it, to try to get our 50-50 balance back on the table with all of our businesses, small and large. But first, I want to introduce our panel members, who are Mark Andel, founder of the Made in America store, Larkin Connolly, the East Coast Vice President of SCORE, and Rich Logis, the principal of RJL Technology Integration. Our engineer is Henry Chaplinsky, and I am Michael Blihash. Well, I'm going to ask everybody to be very frank today. The gloves have to come off. Now, the reason this is happening, that we have to discuss this more boldly, more frankly, as we're hearing horrible things continue to happen right before us. America's leaders can't get the fact that we can't tax our way to prosperity. We have to get people jobs. We have to get our job base back, our tax base back. We've been watching it shrink for 30 years, and everywhere I go, people tell me the same thing. What the hell happened? It's such a simple fact and a reality, but national leaders would rather borrow money to pay bills instead of earning money to get taxes through paychecks. And also, I want everyone today to please go to the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the debt clock. It's right there on the right side at the top. Believe it or not, we are knocking at the door of $19 trillion in debt. It's right now, as we speak, $18,937 billion, or a total of $58 owed by every American. What we talk about during our broadcast, it's a simple reality, but our national leaders can't take the hint, and the election is coming up. We're going to start begging again for you to register. And this time around, you may have to register as a Democrat or a Republican. And then you can change your registration after the primaries. But we need people to get out and vote in the primaries. There's been some very, very disturbing things happened in the last few weeks. American workers are now more in danger of losing their jobs in America, in addition to the tens of millions that have already been taken out of the country due to greed, the lack of leadership, and of course, the blind eye of all of America's national elected leaders. But there's also a second side. Because Americans didn't speak up when their jobs and their livelihoods were being taken out of the country, it has now caused a major crisis. And also, one last thing, which everyone is now telling me, and it's something few people address. We're listening to all these dog and pony shows, all of these debates and town hall meetings and all. Very little, if any, focus is being done on American workers, how we're going to get industries back. Simply tax people, spend, and we're going to place ourselves in prosperity. We're worried about the world, but no one is focused on worrying about America and its future. So today we're going to put all issues on the table, and I'm going to start off with Mark Andel. Mark, what issue do you want to bring up?
How you doing, Mike? I think we've got everybody on, and good morning to all the listeners. Mike, you know, I've been, you know, like I say, fighting the fight up here. You know, it's January. January is typically a slower month for retail and business. But lately, you know, again, I talked to you, Mike, a little bit. What we're going through right now, we just went through a four-day week with General Welding and Fabricating and Made in America Stores to try to conserve and keep the cash flow flowing. And that's what you got to do when times get tough. And, you know, unfortunately, the oil industry being down affects us. We did not get the snow, Mike, you did, which we could have used for our snow removal equipment side with the plows. I was just talking to Henry. I guess you got almost 2 foot. We were missed in Buffalo, which is very unusual. We got about 2 inches. But, you know, this economy being down right now, I think everybody has to just believe in what we do, what we talk about. I believe, you know, Made in America matters. We tell our listeners an action plan is to go out and buy Made in America products. Plus, you've got to vote. You know, we've got to get a qualified official, and I think you said it right when you opened this store. We're not caring what party. We need a qualified leader to get this country turned around, and we can do it. We're Americans.
Absolutely, Mark. And there was also an article you sent me about some things happening there. We're hearing more Kmarts are closing and how they're all Kmarts and Targets and Walmarts, they're downsizing in different places because people are not walking in. They have no discretionary money to buy anything these days. So
Mike,
these stores are downsized. Pardon?
Did you see the article on Walmart I sent you yesterday?
Tell us about that article.
Yeah, you know, and it was interesting. My one nephew, and of course we have our social media and whatnot, he asked me, you know, should I push this? We stay positive and we stay for America. I said, no, absolutely. It's the Walmart. Walmart's closed like 200-300 locations. A lot of them were the new express Walmarts. And what happened in these little small towns around the country, Texas, wherever, you can look it up. They've closed, you know, they came in last year or year before with these test models, a smaller Walmart. My Alma, the town I live in, would be a great example, 10,000 population. They come in and open up this Walmart, and they wipe out the last grocery store or drug store, and, you know, so be it. So this has happened 2-3 years. The grocery store had left that, you know, was the smaller mom and pop. Now they're pulling out the express marts, the Walmarts, right out of the town, and the town's left with nothing for the people, for the simple grocery store. And it really shows, again, what Walmart, and if it would have been called something different, what the big box store has done to small town America. You know, it really came in. Yes, we got cheaper goods. We're all guilty of that. But, you know, we lost the quality. But more inexpensive goods, more things we don't need. But it really, really eroded what America was built on, these small mom-and-pop shops in small-town America. So what's happening now with Walmart, with these small places being pulled back out, they're left in a town with nothing.
Ghost towns. In fact, I had a discussion just 2 days ago. During the snowstorm, it was Monday, I had some very quality discussion with a man who is trying to help us promote the National Small Business Weekend. And he said, you know, I listen to you guys. You're right on target. The loss of local stores not only means the loss of jobs for people, it means the loss of a local economy. Government doesn't understand that. With every little store, you lose jobs, you lose property taxes, you lose a sense of community. Look what happened as a result of this Walmart closing. You have all that town as a ghost town, and you have to now try to reinvent the wheel. Instead of helping those small businesses stay alive, we allowed them to be flushed down the toilet. Larkin, let me hear your thoughts.
Well, good morning, Michael, Mark, Rich, Henry, and listeners. I really was kind of a little bit caught off guard when I heard that WWDB expressed that the opinions expressed on the up-and-coming program do not represent those of the station. we must be getting a little out of hand here.
We are. And that's the way we like it.
That's the way we, you know what, that certainly is.
I used a certain word last week three or four times, and, you know, someone says, wow, they're starting to get wild, so we have to get that notice once in a while.
I spent the better part of this week and this morning trying to prepare with my nose in my political science books from back in the college days and some of the newer poli sci books in the Foreign Affairs magazine that I get and a few other things, trying to find the definition of the new political terms lightweight, bimbo, and wacko. I've never heard these terms used on the political trail before, so I was trying to get my arms around the fact that they're being used today by one of the candidates. Wacko, he called the closest person to him in Iowa. Bimbo, he called a reporter whose debate he refuses to appear on. And lightweight, which is what he called, I believe, President Obama. So just trying to get a grip on this new political world we live in and some of the terms that are being used on a daily basis.
You know, Larkin, if the people don't register this time around, and by the way, people, there is a link right on the front page of American Workers Radio. It's easy. It goes for all 50 states. You fill it out. Please fill it out now, because before you know it, May, the first week of May will be here, and the primary season is going to be over. You won't be able to register. Most states need 25 to 35 days to register you. So go on, click on that, register, and let's get the thing going. Now, unfortunately, you have to register as a Democrat or Republican. So if you're leaning one way or the other, register for whatever you want, but do register. Can you imagine if we could get 80 or 85% of the people to go out and vote? Go on whatever side. We don't tell you what side to go on. And then you can re-register. The way the new system works, you can register every 6 months, whatever you want to change to. But do register so that you will be able to vote in the upcoming primary. Register either Democrat or Republican. Afterward, you can change your registration and be ready to vote in the general election. But to get out there, please do have no second thoughts about making sure that you register to vote. There's no excuse. It's not that you have to go to the post office or you have to go here or there. It's right there on the front page of our internet site. Just go to it and let's get on with this registration and get on with the voting. Now, Rich Logis, I know you've been sitting there waiting to get your two cents in on this discussion. The small and local businesses have added, by the way, the loss of them has added to the isolation of people who are just running in and out of stores with little conversation or with little friendship. They don't even speak to anything. They go into the big stores, they grab the shopping cart, they mindlessly walk through the store and go out. At least when you shop local, you start talking to people, you can ask questions more in a more organized fashion because the people are closer to you. Ladies and gentlemen, please help us. Shop local. National Small Business Weekend starts this Friday, the first Friday of February, the Saturday and the Sunday. Go out and shop local. You'll find it to be a great experience. Yes, Rich.
Good morning, guys. And I hope all of our listeners are doing well. A couple of things. I will offer Michael my 2 cents, 1.69 when adjusted for inflation. So a few things that I want to mention. First off, I woke up this morning and received an email from a guy named Mook from Hillary Clinton's campaign, and the subject heading was, "I need you, Rich." So that right off the bat got my day off to a blazing start to see that. All right, so right off the bat, that happened today. And regarding voter registration, I mentioned last week, I think it was last or 2 weeks ago, about working the polls. I have my training for that this week. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to contact their county board of elections, their county board of elections, regardless of what state they're in. in their particular county. We'll give you the deadlines for, if you want to vote in the primaries, to understand if your state is a closed primary state, open primary state. Florida, where I am, and me and Larkin, we're closed. So you have to belong to a party to vote in the primary. Some states, Michael, are open. So listeners need to go and check that to make sure that they don't miss their deadlines, because if they do, they're not going to be able to register in their primaries. And, Mark, regarding the article that you sent out, you know, let's be honest about this. Walmart is probably the most egregious example of this kind of thing happening. Huge company comes into a community, all the businesses go out of business, and then Walmart, in this case, they close down. You know, Walmart can do that. They can pilot a store. You know, most small business owners can't pilot a small business, Michael. We can't say, well, I'll put a few million in. If it don't work, no big deal. Walmart can do that. Small businesses can't. Now, the one thing, Mark, that I thought about this morning, getting ready for the show. One thing that I will add to this as a trying to find the positive in it, when I see something like that happen, I'm going to tell you, Mark, you're the kind of person who exactly comes to mind first, because what I see is the possible positive aspect of this potentially is that a Mark Andel could go now into that community and start to provide products and services for that community. Walmart closed down. Businesses have closed down. But the Mark Andels of America are going to try to find and take advantage of and seize opportunities when it seems like there aren't any. And that's the kind of thing that can happen. It's not in any way in excusing Walmart and what happened. But when I see that kind of thing, I think about some of the businesses that Larkin advises. And, Mark, I think about someone like you to come in and say, I see an opportunity, and I'm going to try to now take advantage of that. And that's how our market is supposed to work, right? There's supposed to be opportunities there. Of course, we don't like to see some of the crony capitalism where the big behemoths can come in. But it does happen. And when it happens, very enterprising people can now say, okay, we're going to look to go and take advantage of opportunities that we see in that community. So that's, Mark, if I could offer something of what I see as a potential positive on it.
It's a very good idea. Rich, very good. That's an extremely good. You have to seek out, Mark, I hate to say it, you're going to have to seek out some additional investors, because I'll be honest with you in this case too. I don't know how many local banks would be willing to take a chance on what you're trying to do in the local community. Larkin, how do you think local banks would receive a Mark Andel store?
I think Rich is 100% right. Of course, it's an opportunity for Mark. One of the backbones of free enterprise is demand. When one counsels an early entrepreneur, the first thing you have to decide is there truly a demand for what you want to do? Are you going to solve a problem? Are you going to make life easier? Or are you going to improve life with your product or your offering? And that's actually what will happen in Stark, Florida, and Decatur, Georgia, and all of the small town America where Walmart pulls out. What's actually going to happen is a reversal of what happened to get them in the situation that they're in. If there's a demand for a pharmacy in Stark, Florida, some budding pharmacist is going to go to the local bank who's going to say, you're 100% right. We need a pharmacy. We need a drugstore. We need an apothecary. And we're going to start lending money to those people, and the stores are going to start opening back up. So what Walmart has done is not totally all bad news. It creates what our country runs on, and that's called opportunity.
You know, Larkin, as you're saying that, I'm wondering if people who are shopping at Walmart could go out this week and maybe take a look at what American-made items they have there that are right on the shelf right now, in addition to food. I understand people tell me, Michael, they got a lot of food. But what other items do they have? I had a big discussion with somebody last week about my cell phone. They were complaining that I'm not on an iPhone. I said, well, as soon as the iPhone is made in America, they will have the first customer. I said, the one I have, I'm walking with 8 years, this phone, is still made in America by Texas Instrument, and I'll keep it because I know that 60% of it's made in America. And they said, well, you know, why can't you encourage somebody to open an iPhone? Rich, if I asked you that question, could somebody start the first iPhone in America, what would you have to say?
I would say that, yeah, I would say, Michael, the short answer to that is, you know, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, has said on record publicly that iPhones aren't made in America because the labor, the skilled workers aren't here.
Yeah, and you know, Rich, that's a good
BS.
Point.
That's total BS.
That's bull, because I'd like to see a side-by-side cost comparison of what that costs in a foreign country, the bringing it over here, all the PR that's done. I'd like to see a side-by-side comparison, exactly how much difference that phone would be, and would the American people be willing to pay it? If it came to that. But let's see it on the table. Nobody minds a business making a profit, but we don't want to see them gorging themselves at the banquet table till they're ready to collapse.
And, Mike, I think you remember a couple of weeks ago I brought Tim Cook and Apple. They interviewed him, which is very rare, on 60 Minutes. It's worth taking a look at that. It'll answer a lot of what you're talking about. I'd like to back up a hair on the double-edged sword of Walmart in the article. And I think, Mike, you mentioned, you know, Mark Andel could go into the towns and how hard is it to raise money. And Rich, I like what you said. It is a Mark Andel time, that entrepreneur. And in that article, actually one grocery store was coming back into the town, which is neat, that was actually went out. And then Larkin, you know, the capital and the entrepreneur spirit. And I just want to touch on Walmart going out, what we're up to. You know, again, we're creating and saving jobs. Consumers are creating and saving jobs and livelihoods with a purchase. That's our message. We're doing our store in store, and we're trying to get that message and educate and aware all in one statement, a call to action statement. But as you go in, what I'm finding right now, I want to grow. We got the 8 outlets in Western New York. We got 7,000 products supporting 500 privately owned American businesses. And as we go across, very hard to get money for retail. And Larkin, you know, manufacturing, they'll help you retail. But I tie the two together, so I'm really confusing them. But getting money and cash flow and capital to do what we need to do. But we will slowly. I love these Walmart buildings being new express. I hope they're beautiful and got well-lit areas because I'm coming in them.
Very good. And you know what is going to happen? More and more I see it. Even in the big mega stores, they're bringing in a bank. They're bringing in an outside bakery. They're bringing all these little shops to make it like a little shopping village, because the stores themselves can no longer afford to be the end all for everybody.
It's a good point, Mike, because a lot of the malls in our area, we've got A malls that really have no pulse. They're like Walmart, they're corporate America. I'm dealing with one mall that has no pulse at all. They don't care about anything we're doing, it's all about the dollar. Then you got these B malls that are having trouble going, and with these anchor stores like Macy's and people pulling out around our area, them are the anchor stores. Them are the people that keep that price down so the local person, myself and others, can go in and have a fair lease and really make it with the math. And now what's happening, they're trying to turn these B malls into kind of an experience. They go in and they hang, and it'll still support the locals. So it's really neat if they can still pay the bills, keep the lights on in the malls, these mall owners, because it's hard to do without your anchor stores. But it's a neat process going on right now, as long as they make it through it.
You see, a lot of these people in the business field try to make everybody an entrepreneur by opening a little store. But how about having the stores like yours where you feature American-made products? That could be in every mall, and why not? And you are now offering those products in big amounts and small amounts. It's a matter of getting that message out. A lot of people are afraid to take on new inventory at this time of year. But Mark, it's a stab in the dark, and it has to be done.
Yeah, and what I'd like to bring up, too, I'm tying my General Welding Fabricating Manufacturing Company with my Made in America store even more this sixth year. And instead of having two separate commercials, one commercial, I'll be opening up my manufacturing shop. I'll be showing them building an all-American grill, the welder working on it, rolling it, fabricating it. It'll go over to the store, be set on a shelf in a box. It'll go to the counter, be bought by a person, and then somebody will be cooking on it at the end. But I'm trying to lock in that whole manufacturing to retail experience and how they tie together and how it actually works. So I think that'll be awesome, and I'll let you guys see this commercial when we're done with it in a couple weeks.
Very good, Mark. Oh, that ties in with that thing I mentioned to you last week. That could be very nicely put together.
People don't always tie in how that manufacturing, building a product, you said a pizza, I say a grill, if it's a trailer, whatever it is, you people putting it together, skilled labor, skilled hands, actually working every day for a living, and then being sold in a retail store, that whole 100% stays in our country, and that's what we're trying to get.
That's right. Keeping our dollar circulating here in the USA. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that when these different Jennifer Briney and all these others talk that so many of these trade organizations don't even want us to identify that the product's made in America. Well, tough luck. Let's make it in America, sell it in America, and have it bought by Americans. Let's end the bull and start looking out for America and Americans first. Yes, Rich.
Michael, I have to bring up a point, Mark, and relate it to Mark. I had someone recently tell me, without knowing who Mark was, that tour buses to a Made in America store weren't realistic. And I said, hold on. Put down that vanilla chai latte with that organic raw goat milk. And we're gonna get an education on that today. Okay. And I simply emailed this person back. It was related to something personal I'm working on. And Mark, I just introduced you to someone new. And the consciousness, you know what, Mark? Here's the thing. When I hear that, in a way, there's again, trying to find the positive in it. What it's telling me is that there's something that's brewing and burgeoning, and that relates to where the old is new again, right? The old was America made a majority. I think it's accurate, Larkin, to say a majority of the world's products. I think the majority of everything in the world came from here, and that was the old. And I think the old is new, starting to come back a little bit. The election that's happening is bringing this to the forefront, Michael. I know that Larkin didn't name by name, but we know who Larkin was talking about at the outset, about our political terms. But the time is shrinking in terms of how much. I mean, there's really – the election is November, but there's really 3-4 months until we know who the nominees are. And even with all of that stuff, Larkin, which I don't like either, because it's stupid, it's Mickey Mouse stuff. What's still gonna drive this election, I believe, is going to be the number one issue, which is getting people back to work. And you want to know something, Mark? Getting people back to work, what that does is create more opportunities for Made in America. It creates more opportunities for the businesses Larkin is going to advise. It's going to create more opportunity for our audio engineer, Henry, for his web design business. It's going to create more opportunity for our JL.
It's
when
funny,
you get the country back to work.
Yeah, you know, Made in America takes care of so many things, grows that middle class, gets people back to work, gets them dreaming again, brings back the can-do spirit. It's so simple. Like you say, the buses, this person didn't know any buses were coming. Well, we've had 500 buses to date. Now, that was not in my business plan back on April 3rd, 2010. I had no clue. I didn't care. I didn't do it for money. I did it to create jobs and livelihoods and stand up for our country. So that's a beautiful thing that it happened. But 80% of our buses come from out of state, too. But, you know, you talk about United States was the factory of the world at one point, and then Japan became the factory of the world. China is now. Vietnam will probably be next. But we want United States to be next and be balanced. That's what we want. We want a fair trade, 50-50. And we keep educating, and as we do. But you found a person that told you it'll never happen, and then you said, no, it did happen. It's like, gun rights, or, somebody said on TV that when I was 12, I shot guns, and the other person said, what, did you grow up in the woods? They had no clue. No, you can target practice and hunt, but they just don't know. So we've got to continue to educate and raise awareness and make sure these people know what we're talking about.
Mark, you're absolutely right. And by the way, guys, and Larkin, as I spoke with some of your SCORE representatives, we discussed certain things that none of us can argue with. Like number one, every employed American can say without question that a stable job adds to their quality of life. Does everybody agree with that? Absolutely.
Absolutely.
How can you wake up in the morning and say, I have no job, I have nothing to do? And by the way, supporters of the Buy American Made campaign have been finding out more ways to increase jobs in America because of campaigns like ours, that they go out and they shop and they look and this and that, and I can't believe it. Everything is I can't believe it. And I say to them, well, it's been going on for at least 20 to 25 years. And even here are dock workers in the city of Philadelphia. Before the dock workers would receive a container ship, they would open up the various containers. They would distribute it to the different stores. They've got it to a science now from India, from China, and everything else. All you have to do is bring the container off the ship and ship it to the store that ordered it. The people on the other side, 3, 4, 5 stores get together, fill that container, and take it right to Sears on the Boulevard or whatever store it is. The dock workers and all have lost out. We, as Americans, have to bring it to an end. We. Nobody else is going to do it for us. Nobody reaches in your pocket or takes your credit card and goes and buys products at the store. You do it. I'm urging everybody to take the Buy American Made challenge for the next 60 days. Buy nothing that is not made in America, and you will be able to see for yourself how far we fell off the cliff. Yes, Larkin.
Well, I will say this. I cannot guarantee you that if a man or a woman has a job, that they're going to be a well-adjusted member of society and that everything's going to be cool. But I can guarantee you that a man and a woman without a job is not going to be a very good part of society. There is nothing more debilitating to an individual's personality than the dignity or the lack of dignity that's exposed when an individual is out of work. So it has to be the number one proposition in this political campaign, and so far it's not even close.
They're talking about taxing you and how they're going to do this and that. I want to hear what they're going to do to lower the corporate tax. And we're going to, in fact, maybe ask that Joel Josephs to come on the program. Let him talk about his ideas about giving tax-free zones for companies that make American-made products, everything American-made. I mean, maybe some of the parts could be imported, but everything American made. Let's get those zones. He's a person. I also put a call into a very good person, Sarah Blackwell. She's also trying to protect workers. And by the way, I put a call into her. I couldn't get to her because we started the broadcast. But as you hear, the India caucus in Washington looks out for the Indian people coming over here to work. So what they're doing is they're helping to undercut American workers, telling them that they don't have the talents, they don't have the skills, they need all these people to come over here and operate the new machinery, so forth and so on. Yes. Rich, is that true?
Well, Michael, it's...
There was an article, by the way, I believe in the New York Times, very recent article, that discussed the situation at Disney, where Disney was bringing in these people and then training the people with American workers, then getting rid of the American workers and keeping these foreign workers on the job. Have you seen that article, Rich?
Well, this has been public. I mean, you had foreign worker visa provisions put into the gargantuan omnibus, which was just a, that was just a Democrat rhino
Yes, and they said that
we need cooperative effort.
Yeah, but in that bill, it also said, by the way, that we have to bring in more of these visa workers. The situation of the past was this. After you advertised three times and you couldn't find a qualified worker, then you went to those guest visa programs. That's not how it is anymore. The companies have free rein to do whatever they want.
Guys, did you see the 100% manufacturing 0% article? And Mike, I apologize. I think my button stuck. You'll probably never ask me for an email again. But you know, basically the article was neat. Somebody gave it to me. It was in the Buffalo News, but it said if you manufactured 100% made in America products, we'll have a 0% tax on them companies alone. But it has to be 100%. Of course, I said beautiful. But it makes sense to try to grow the manufacturing here. I think it was a nice article, you know, well written, and it was just an idea, but it makes sense.
Well, absolutely. If China's manipulating its currency to make it better for their people to have jobs, then we should not manipulate our currency, but at least give the businesses in America the tax break that they need to grow and bring in more workers. More workers is going to bring prosperity to America, not finding new ways to tax people.
Yeah, and I think they were talking also to have a 25% corporate tax on average for people that don't want 100%, but to try to stop these people from hiding in Ireland where it's 4% or all these places to keep the money back in this country so we can grow this country again. We need a 5-year plan, not even a 60-day plan, Mike, like you mentioned, a 5-year plan to get rolling here.
Well, when I tell people to take that 60-day plan, they say, oh, that's a breeze, 60 days. And then when I see them, I say, how'd you make out with the plan? I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. There is nothing in this category and that category. That's why I have to get out and go into some of these stores and see what they have. They don't want to see me in a lot of these stores, yeah. But I want to be more noticed. And I mentioned something to Mark about a special project we're considering. But the biggest thing that's going to open the eyes of the politician is this. Register to vote. There is a link on the left side of American Workers Radio. It goes right to a site. It goes right to any state you want. If the politicians see that there's a lot of new people registering, it's going to open their eyes. And last time we went on the campaign, all states, including Pennsylvania, had a major increase in new voter registrations. We want to do something that politicians don't care because they think the people are asleep at the wheel. This is the biggest problem. I told you last week, I asked somebody a question and they said, oh, I don't know, it has to go to a study committee and all. I'm thinking to myself, a study committee? The people need action now.
Mike, you know, we have...
Well, Michael, you're suggesting to me that the people of this country are not asleep at the wheel?
Well, they are. That's right. Larkin, they've been asleep. You know why? Because, say, 20 years ago, people still had jobs where they were able to be working with foreign country, and everybody thought this is the new globalization. Aren't we doing wonderful, blah, blah, blah. But as time goes on, as I mentioned about those containers, sooner or later, they find a better way to do it. And then they're just bypassing American workers, even at the dock.
Hey, Larkin, you know why they can be asleep at the wheel? You ever been to the Wild Kingdom in Walt Disney World? They got the cars that stay on a track no matter what you do.
Yeah, right. You know what the tracks are? The tracks are entitlement.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you know, Larkin, we who are employed have to help others. We have to stop the undercutting nonsense and utilize the labor force that's available in America. We have to reclaim America's economy. At this point, purchasing American-made products has been the most effective way for America's consumers to go to the store and make a point. When a store sees that all their foreign stuff is sitting and the Americans are buying what basics they can that are made in America, well, then the store owners get the message. They have to contact their merchandisers. They have to take action. Instead of doing business, the same old action must be taken. Otherwise, their profits go down.
So the thing that Mark said is absolutely right on. This is the fix here, the repair here, and I've been saying this for weeks. The fix here, the repair here, is going to take a long time. We will not fix this overnight. We won't fix this in 2 months. We won't fix this in 6 months. We won't fix it in 6 years. It's going to take 10 to 20 years to turn this around completely and get it going in the right direction. Just tuning up the country and getting it ready, preparing our workers to be educated enough to go back into the manufacturing world. I mean, there are so many spokes on this wheel that have to be corrected. And unfortunately, none of the politicians that are currently running for president, and I mean none are talking about the revitalization of the American economy through rebuilding the manufacturing world. It's just not happening.
And that also, Larkin, is a problem of our manufacturing associations in every state. They should all be screaming to their governors, and they should also be screaming to their senators and their congressmen that they want action. Their people in the communities need jobs, not more welfare programs that simply hide the fact that people are unemployed. They need programs. Can you imagine? I mean, by supporting what we call our 2016 theme, support our manufacturers. Support America's manufacturers.
Are no manufacturers. How can you support them if you
don't have them? There's still a small amount of them, and they will grow if they see that the American people are willing to go out of their way to buy things that are made right in their local community.
Hey, Mike, can I bring up Monday night I was asked to be a speaker at a local assisted living home. So this gentleman asked me to do it, so I went down, and they had given me dinner first, and very nice. He was 87 years old. The average demographic there was 60 to 90 years old. So this Don and Jeannie had me. She was from Asheville, North Carolina, moved to Buffalo, and Asheville was a cabinet furniture building area that, you know, the vacuum got sucked out overseas. And then Don was a World War II vet and opened a business, was an entrepreneur. Anyways, we're talking. They're just getting to know me, and she stops and says, wow, you're American. I didn't know there was any left, and I'll never forget what she told me. And then I went and showed my DVD, and I did my speech, and these people afterward loved it. They contributed to our country. And they really understood what we're doing. They said, wow, you're not a salesman. You're really doing this. And one guy came up and said, what happened? How did this happen? You know, Mike, like you asked, how did this happen? How do we not build anything? How do we not have nothing with a cord on it that plugs? And it was a great question. What a great feeling. These people all contributed to the building of the United States of America. And I really left there fired up. And they really loved our mission and our movement. And, you know, they're bringing a bus to our store now. So pretty neat.
Mark, you know, you just reminded me of a nice couple, seasonal couple I met here from England, staying for the winter months. And I, not 10 seconds went by, guys, that the presidential election started coming up. And this couple expressed to me about how they are in favor of the proposed ban on Trump entering their country. So after I gave them a little bit of a history lesson to tell them, like, the concept of banning was found in some not so nice societies throughout history. But then when they said to me that America could benefit from more social programs, I asked them, well, what do you mean? And they said, well, for starters, it's much harder to get a gun in England. And I said, I know. That's why we fought the revolution against you. And they just stood there, Mark. Didn't know what to say. Now, I know that's not exactly why, but I just felt like telling a British couple it's why we fought the revolution against them. What can I say? I just wanted to say it.
We like our freedom. We love America. That's okay.
I think England's in a race with the rest of Europe to see who can implement Sharia law first. So,
I think all you have to do is watch the news, and you hear snippets of stories that aren't the slightest bit related with Made in America. But you know that it's all part of the problem. It's all where our thinking got so screwed up. I was watching this morning with the three guys that escaped from an Orange County jail, and these are three bad, bad men. I mean, these are bad guys. These are guys that like to rape young children, that like to torture people with fire, that like to drive a nail into their ear shortly before this. These are bad, bad men. And this one guy was so bad that they tried to extradite him back to his home country. And you know what happened? His home country said, we don't want him. So we put him.
We don't want him. Yeah, we don't want him.
Why would we want him? You got him. You're the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Right.
You take him. And,
yep.
And so we put him back in jail.
Yeah, we, you know, Lark and guys and all of our listeners, when I talk to people, I say to them, tell me how things are going. And that's probably the best message I can get back, feedback from people. They tell me, Michael, we saw this happening 20 years ago when we started to lose some of our customers to foreign made. Then they would tell me that the government regulations on environment and the rising taxes and all just started to make what they were making impossible to be done. Yet the product had no trouble coming from India or Pakistan or China in the same wrapper. Everybody accepted it. And the only people that remained in the job were the people in the offices and the people doing the sales to the stores that they served for over the years. But you know what? I also learned from these people that because outsourcing of our industries, our jobs, went unaddressed for so many years, every level of America's business, and Larkin, you're right about things not being made. Every level of America's business, their workers from the one business, two business, three business person, they're all suffering. They're a shadow of what they were 20 years ago. But how does something like that happen? Do you mean the politicians didn't see it? The local politicians, the local business associations didn't see that their members were being gobbled up and all of their production was being made overseas. This is a fault upon the silence of the American people, not speaking up when they had every opportunity to speak up.
You know, Michael,
you can't get reelected. You cannot get reelected if you don't have a huge till of money somewhere hidden away. So that you can campaign and do the payoffs and the kickbacks and all the rest of that stuff. So if your donors are saying to you, you know, keep your mouth shut, please, about us importing. We make better margins. There are better prices. It's more affordable for our motoring public. So just mind your own manners, sit down and shut up, and we'll continue to contribute. And that's exactly what happened.
And you know, Larkin, with our campaign, the way we are doing things, we're not asking people. We're, first of all, asking people not to donate to them anymore. Don't donate, you know, and they'll come down off their high horse. But mainly, as I said in the beginning of the program, no one can tell you how to spend your dollars. People tell me, and I will tell you, I'm the first person, I will wear the clothing I have rather than buy something foreign made until I find more stuff. And I do have people telling me, the smaller stores, we will make your shirts, we will make your suits, all that. Small guys are starting to come forward. Unfortunately, small guys are exclusive to what they're doing. So we need to have more of those small guys instruct bigger operations to expand making those suits and those shirts again, so that every shirt is not coming from Mexico, India, Pakistan, China. This is where, how can this possibly be? When people tell me, how is it possible that this happened? I say, well, if you took all the clothes off your body right now and looked at the labels, what would you find that's American made? You caused the problem by not looking at the labels. I caused the problem myself by not looking at the labels. But in the last 15 years, I have been looking, and I'm cutting down on what I really don't need that's not American made.
And what you're talking about, they need to get an understanding of what happened what we need to do going forward. How many of our leaders actually went through hard times in their life that actually, a lot of them, I feel, had money all the time. They didn't work week to week, and we've talked about this. Us going through tough times with our company right now, my brother came up and said, hey, we've been there before together. We started from nothing. So we know, he said, I got your back. We got to do what we got to do. I don't know if we have a leader that's been there, you know, how America was built. That's why with these people the other night, these people contributed, fought World War II, came back, contributed. They was the best generation. But we need that type of a leader that knows what it is to have a hard time.
Okay, so we're going to go to Congress and we're going to say, okay, guys, here's the deal. You're either going to come up with a budget that works and functions, or we're going to take half your pay away next month.
As I said before, I believe that Congress, that Senate, and all the local congressmen and Senate and all, should be citizen legislatures where they're really going there for 6 or 8 years and they're getting their expenses for traveling and all, but they go back to a regular job and just go to Washington 4 or 5 times a year. That's more than enough. The fact that they're there and doing nothing is more frightening to me than them not being there and doing nothing.
Well, and we can't even get that accomplished in the state of Pennsylvania.
That's right.
Our part-time legislature turned into a full-time job now, too.
And I keep asking people, when did that happen? Where's that legislation that says we went from a citizens legislature, a part-time legislature, to a full-time legislature? I'm still waiting, because you know what happens in a lot of this political stuff? They try to take down all the proof, all the directions, all the maps to the way it used to be and say, well, that's all we know. That's how it's always been. No. People made these rules and regulations to benefit themselves. It's time to really look back. Benjamin Franklin and Jefferson and everybody else, none of these people were paid. They were citizen legislators. Why do we need full-time legislators who have to, as soon as they're reelected, as soon as they're sworn in, they have to go every day and raise money? We don't need that anymore.
Larkin, you said earlier, it's going to take time, 10 years, 20 years. While I agree because what you're saying is accurate, my statement to that is, and my statement to people in general about this is, what are we waiting for? I mean, let's get started.
Let's go.
How bad does it have to get, right?
Yeah, how much?
Let's go.
But Mark,
that's a good point, because I'm going to tell you something that I'm telling prospective voters. If they don't think that it can get worse, they are mistaken. They're mistaken, in my opinion. I believe they're mistaken.
And it's getting worse, Rich, even with this health care stuff. You have no idea what these companies are going through to keep health care for their employees. This is a very ugly situation. And now everything is computerized. They could care less. They're trying to get all these people on this marketplace. It's disgusting. I mean, there has to be a gathering of the healthcare professionals, people like Dr. Walter Hsu and people like of this value, to get on there and start talking. What are we going to do to end this nightmare? How can you call the insurance company and they don't know anything? They push you from one person to the next.
So, you know, it's amazing how we can walk around in such an absolute funk and have absolute with virtually no answers, and yet we turn on the television and we listen to these politicians, we pick a side and we proceed. And you know my first realization of picking sides came to me when my mother told me, my mother, one of the smartest women I ever knew, died 4 years ago at the age of 97, had a college degree. Was a professional woman her entire life, very, very smart woman, said to me, I'm going to vote for Kennedy, John Kennedy. And I said, really, why? And at that point, I was, 12? I said, really, why? And she said, because he's a great-looking man, and he's Catholic. And I thought, wow. You know, if I work on my looks, I might be able to be president, too, because I'm Catholic. I mean, that's what a great deal. we're just so horribly misguided. We've turned into an ugly consumer society that just doesn't know how to make judgment. My wife calls it, unfortunately, and I'm really getting down into the dirt right now, but my wife calls it the dumbing of America.
It is. The dumbing down of America. She's absolutely right.
I'm going to turn that into a shirt again now.
How much more stupid can we get? Really? How much more dumb can we get by accepting the political rhetoric that is being thrown at us right now as stuff that is being produced by a thinking individual? Really?
Ladies and gentlemen, I hate to say it, but we are already at 11:56, and I want to get some closing remarks from everybody. But I want to say first, remember, restoration of jobs for Americans happens every time you go out and purchase an American-made or an American-made product made and circulated here in the USA. Please don't forget it. If you have to do without, do without. Many people have been doing without because they don't have a job. If you have a job, be grateful and help someone else to get a job. Larkin, your final remarks for today.
Well, we've got to get everybody back to work. I agree with Rich and I agree with myself. I mean, it's going to take 15 years, but what the heck are we waiting for? I think it's time for this country to put together a program similar to that that was developed by Roosevelt. And I think it was called WPA, shovel-ready jobs. And I think we got to get the money in circulation. We got to get people back to work. And we got to get people afraid to say, listen, why would I go out and push a broom down Market Street in Philadelphia when I can stay home and get two-thirds the money? Why?
Right.
Explain it.
Mark, what are your final remarks for
today? First, I want to thank the listeners for giving us their time and listening and going out and doing, buying Made in America products. And I want to remind them not to lose enthusiasm. We're in the greatest country in the world, period. And it's the only America we have. So together we can make change. It's just going out and really knowing the power that one person has.
And Rich, what are your closing remarks?
I'm going to hallelujah, amen, to both Larkin and Mark. I want to give a particular shout-out to a good buddy in New York, a very avid listener, Marty. Marty, thanks for listening. Thanks for sending our show around to friends and family. Thanks, guys.
And that is the best thing that you can do. When we get this broadcast out today on the Internet, which should be like in an hour and a half, it'll be emailed. Please email it to your family members and friends. And remember to remind them that they can listen in 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, simply by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Anytime link. Also, remember, on that same side, the left side of the page, is the register to vote. If no one's voting in your family, then no one has an opinion on the future of America as far as elected leadership is concerned. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. Thanks to all of our sponsors. I will acknowledge them every day this week, and especially on Saturday and Sunday. Until this Saturday at 11, or next Wednesday at 11, here on 860 AM, I wish all of you the very best.
Hey, guys, send me up some snow, okay? Don't be hoarding it, Henry.
I love it. Believe me, we got enough of it, too, to spread around.